Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703 0363659, 0703 768 1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org, or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Father, this morning, this thing that you must create in us, the resilience that is required for a man to fulfill the divine mandate, release it upon these children in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that the Spirit of God that pushes until the matter of God's purpose is accomplished, let Him be at work in our lives in the name of Jesus. Some may dwell where doubts arise, where fears dismay. Some are crippled by the fears of their own unknown. But we refuse to dwell there. We refuse to stay there. Until we see your glory burst forth, we will not give up in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. The resilience required in a leader for effectiveness. The resilience. Now, what will be the meaning of the word resilience? The word resilience, you will find different ways in which it could be expressed. But I want to draw the definition that I'm praying I could pass on to you from a bit of science. You know, if you take a piece of matter or of a substance and you do it like this, and it breaks, what kind of material is that? We say it's brittle. We say it is what? It's brittle. That means it can break under a little pressure. It can break up. It can give up. It can cave in under a little stress. But if you take a material and you exert all forms of pressure on it, and rather than break, it only expands to contain that pressure and does not lose shape after it, you will say that kind of material is elastic or is resilient. So the resilience we are looking at now, we are looking at the elastic property of a substance whose limit is almost at infinity. Is that okay? The persevering capacity of a life that is almost infinite. The capacity to bear, the capacity to strain without yielding, the capacity to keep on, to keep at a vision without yielding unto any form of depression until it has become a reality. So that resilience is a requirement in any leader that will push the purpose of God onto its logical conclusion. Hallelujah. The word, the biblical word that you will find regularly used to represent resilience is the word perseverance. But you see, the word perseverance, many, many times, it's looked upon as negative. But that's why I did not bring in the word perseverance as the point. The resilience, even though it contains all the properties of perseverance, it carries all the properties of endurance, but much more, it carries the property of an inner capacity of a man to keep at a matter until he sees the end of it. Praise the Lord. And when you turn to scriptures, the first illustration we are going to pick, we'll take it from the life of Jesus and then go ahead and see how to develop resilience as a leader. How to persevere with a vision until it becomes visible for others to touch it. And that is what actually makes you a leader among men. Majority of people you meet or you encounter, they are good starters. But there are very few of them that are finishers. Are you understanding? Resilience will be the capacity to run a marathon. The capacity to engage a marathon and come at the end of it as the victor or victorious. The resilience is the internal reserve inside a man's life that seems inexhaustible, that responds to new and fresh, unprecedented challenges and is able to bear up with it. I don't know whether all the various definitions I'm bringing to you, is it clear? Eh? Did you get me? All right. I said It is an internal reserve located in a man's life that at any point of a challenge, there is yet something that will rise inside of his life to meet that challenge and push through. So, resilience is not just one activity. Again, it is a virtue of life that has to be developed, has to be called forth. When you see somebody who starts a project and never finishes it, and start another project, and start another project, and start another project, and he has had so many abandoned, unfinished projects, because each time he takes a project to a point and there is a challenge in that project, the challenge pushes him out. He says, man, go and start another one. What does that person lack? He lacks resilience. You've met people that have started this course. When they got to 200 levels, I don't think I can make that one. Then he looked to a simpler course. Then he jumped into another one. Then he jumped to another one. And at the end, he didn't come out with anything. What did he lack? He lacked resilience. He lacks the elasticity that is able to bear. Actually, you know, in physics, when you want to measure the resilience or the elasticity coefficient of a material, you ask, what is the ratio of the stress to the strain? When you put an object you put a force acting on a unit area, what strain does it create? And is he able to bear that strain and return to shape? That's how we measure it. One of the things that they do naturally, and some of you may have gone through it, to develop resilience in somebody that they are preparing for leadership. Sometimes when they go you through what they call leadership development, they make you to climb. To do a long climb on a hill, and they are waiting to see who will drop without reaching the top. What they are trying to develop physically is the resilience. Those of you that went into NYC, you know that during the camp, there are those things they call endurance trek. There are things that they will want you to tackle and see whether, no matter how difficult the situation is, you can find a way around it. They are only calling forth the reservoir of resilience that is in your life. But whereas men want to do that physically, God, who has capacity to do something and keep doing it without giving up, wants to pass that kind of virtue into your life. He wants to prepare you, wants to equip you with a spiritual resilience that can hold on and hold up until victory comes your way. When we finish talking this morning, we shall pray. We will be asking God to enlarge your capacity to carry a vision and to bear what God is about to bring onto your hand in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a requirement for leadership. It's a requirement for spiritual leadership. It's a requirement to bear a burden for God and to carry a vision until it becomes a tangible reality. Some people are resilient at doing evil. The devil also looks for resilience in the kind of men he uses. He also needs someone who, when he is commissioned to do evil, will not give up. And what I am so touched about is that actually men that are serving the devil, I don't know how to, maybe it's because of fear that he puts in their lives. They seem to be adamant with evil until they perish. But when you see a child of God who carries what will change people's lives, who carries what the whole world needs, when you meet many of them, they are not resilient enough to push the purpose of God to a good conclusion. They easily give up. You say, well. And because of lack of resilience in those who carry genuine message, those who carry error, they fill the place. God is going to increase your capacity to bear his purpose in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to read Isaiah 42 very quickly, and then we go to Hebrews and we go to Philippians within the space we have this morning. God will help us in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1 down to verse 4. Incidentally, today we will be studying that Isaiah 42, even in the night we may come on it. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighted. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the eyes shall wait for his law. The verse that describes the resilience that we want to deal with is that verse 4. But verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, building up to verse 4, is given to us. First, what will be the manifestation and the source of the kind of resilience that a leader must carry But let me read that verse 4 for you to see what it means. He will not fail. That is from Amplified Bible. He will not fail or become weak or be crushed and discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. And the islands and coastal regions shall wait hopefully for him and expect his direction and law. He will not fail or become weak or be crushed and discouraged. You see, those parameters, they are the parameters of a resilient leader. They are the parameters of a leader who has an intrinsic reservoir of resilience. I put it again. He will not fail or become weak or be crushed and discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. Did you understand that now? Until he has accomplished his purpose, he will not fail, he will not become weak, he will not be crushed, he will not be discouraged, he will not yield, he will not give up, he will not give in, he will not throw in the towel until he has established the purpose of God on the face of the earth. Every leader that will move far with God must receive this kind of grace to run. Let me find out from you. Are you following me to where we are? Because, you know, when you are introducing a concept that is looking abstract, you have to first of all use different analogy to make it real. So let me find out from you. Is what I'm talking about resilience? Are you understanding it now? Okay. Are you discovering your need for it? Especially when you come into leadership and you find that the things that you thought you can easily accomplish, you just find obstacles. Are those obstacles asking you to give up? They are only calling for a resilience. It is not a sign of failure. It is only a requirement. They are saying, people that do the kind of thing you are talking about, there is an elasticity they bring to it. We have not seen your own. That's all they are asking for. But spiritual leadership, especially when you are going to be swimming against the current, when you are going to be standing against the kingdom of darkness, and you know something about Satan, if I was going to describe Satan to you, he is the most resilient enemy. The devil, he never gives up. When the devil tempts you 1,000 times, are you hearing me? And you overcame him. Do you know what the devil says? He says, next time we catch. Satan is never discouraged that you have conquered him 520 times. What does he do? He shakes his body and says, the battle continues. Maybe that is what has continued to sustain the kingdom of Satan until now. Otherwise, it should have been crushed. But Satan, he never gives up. When he finished tempting Jesus for 40 days and 40 nights, and Jesus gave him knockout. What did the Bible say at the end of it? He said he left him for what? For a season, for an opportune time. Did he come again? He came. There's no time he will not come. If he didn't come directly, because when he came directly, you knock him down. He said, let's go through Peter. And Jesus said, get you behind me, Satan! Get you behind me, Satan! He said, another time. He said, let's find another means. He's a resilient opposer of the kingdom of God. Can I be anything less? Can I also not be as aggressive under God and to refuse to give up? And that if there's anything until I die, let me keep holding the baton. That's the kind of man I want to be. So the Bible was pointing at this man, Jesus. But I want to first note that the resilience we see in Christ's life was not arbitrary. It was not just natural. It was not just self-determination. It said, behold my servant whom I uphold. My elect in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice and right and reveal truth to the nation. A bruised reed he will not break. A dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will bring forth justice in the earth. He will not fail. He will not become weak. He will not be crushed. He will not be discouraged. He has established justice in the earth. Where does he get the source of his resilience? Where did he get it? From God. Behold my servant whom I uphold. So the resilience I'm talking to you about this morning, it is not the natural, self-stubborn will. I'm not going to give up. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a resilience, a divine input into your life that makes you always to find grace to help you in the time of need until you see the victory of the purpose of God prospering in your hand. The resilience that every Christian leader carries that will make him to fulfill the vision, that will make him to go as a pioneer where there is nothing and he's standing there until something comes out. It comes by the Spirit of God that has come upon him. Hallelujah. Behold my servant, whom I do what? Whom I uphold. I have put my spirit upon him. My hand is upon him. That's the source of the resilience I'm talking about today. And brother or sister, you won't be able to stand to fulfill the mandate and the destiny God is setting before you if you only approach it with the human energy. Human energy will fail you. Psychological energy will disappoint you. Motivational speaking will not carry you through. Where do we get this required resilience? We get it from the Lord by the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. It is as the Spirit of God stands in you, walking in you, speaking into your spirit, giving you strength to go ahead. That's where you get strength for this resilience. I'm just dealing with the source before I go to the manifestation of it in practical leadership. Can I take one more passage to point at the source? Where do we get our resilience? Where do we get it? Isaiah 40, which you know. I want you to repeat it. Isaiah chapter 40. Are you in Isaiah 40? I'll read from verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does what? Fainteth not. What is that pointing at? That's a resilience. God himself is the embodiment of resilience. He never faints. He never loses his power. Neither is weary. He is not weary. And there is no statue of his understanding. Now verse 29. He giveth power. To which people? To the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Because natural resilience cannot last. And the young men shall utterly fall. But now look at verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord, what will they do? They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. What are we describing there? A resilience that is climbing, getting to the heights. As if there is something inside that says, keep moving, keep climbing, keep going higher. Don't give up. Don't go down. Don't faint. Don't let it go until you get to where you are going for God. I'm begging God that I would see young people like you who are resilient about the will of God, who are going to push the purpose of God to its height in your generation. While others are chickening out and they are yielding to pressure, and it looks as if that's what everybody is doing, let's all join them. Because you have no courage to be different. You have no courage to stand out. You have no courage to say, if no one joins me, I will go on. But where do we get such capacity for resilience? They that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall work and not what? Faint. So where do we get the resources for this resilience? Where do we get it? As we learn to wait on God. As a leader who is going to mount up with wings without fainting, When all others are discouraged, you are able to encourage yourself in the Lord and move on. When everybody say, bro, this thing is not possible, something in you rises and say, follow me. You will see the glory of the Lord today. When all others, they may not even say it will not work, but you can see on their faces that they don't believe in what you are talking about. You can see them standing aloof and say, duh. But there's something in you that is rising to exchange your strength and say, go ahead. Where do we get it, brothers and sisters? We get it from the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord. Those who have come to recognize that the strength to keep pushing until we get to the conclusion of the purpose of God for our lives, we can only derive it as we wait on God. Those who wait on the Lord. Those who now know that, look, rather than give up, I will rather wait for God to exchange my strength. They're the ones that bring resilience unto leadership. They're the ones that can stand for a vision that God gives until it becomes a reality. I would like to tell you that if God will call you to the place of prayer, you are going to be an intercessor. There must be a release of that quantity of resilience that never gives up, that will give God no rest until he has made Jerusalem what? A praise on the earth. We get this required resilience as we learn to connect with God. I'll read how that verse 31 had been expressed about those who wait for the Lord. Those who expect, those who look for and hope in him shall change and renew their strength and power. When they use the word change, you know what comes to my mind? It's like you go to service your engine, your vehicle, and they say, we will change engine oil. Eh? Why do they change engine oil? It's because the engine oil that is there, his viscosity has already finished. Eh? You know, that's their language. Actually, what they are changing the oil for is because the resilience of that oil has exhausted. Praise the Lord. The capacity for the oil to keep holding on so that iron does not rub on iron to cause a knock, when it becomes too light, they say, let's change it. And some of you that were used to engines, when I used to use my Beetle, it used to be very, very apparent. Once I changed the engine oil, the sound of my Beetle just changed. It would be making noise, kara, 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 kara. When the oil has not been, but once the engine oil is changed and a new engine oil is put, oh, the car runs almost, you know, completely smoothly with no noise. Then the sound of my Beetle will return. You need to change your oil from time to time. But where do we change our strength? Where? From the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They will change their strength and their power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles. Just as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. Hallelujah. Can I move away from where do we get resilience? Where do we increase our resilience? Do you understand now? Where will I get it? I'll get it from the Lord. By doing what? By waiting on Him. By waiting on Him. As a leader, my brother, there are many, many things that want to knock you off and you get discouraged. Sometimes somebody will just make a statement. Sometimes those who don't understand where you are going, they want to evaluate, they say you are not serious. And for some of you, once somebody say you are not serious, you are knocked down. You say, they're not serious. I don't even know what I would do, and people will be happy with me. When I see you crying like that, I say, A leader doesn't cry like that. A leader gains something inside that says, even if they say I'm not serious, I know I am serious. Sometimes, do you know, I encourage myself because in the early days of our lives and of the work of God, what we were talking about did not look possible. The vision God gave us did not appear correct. Didn't appear possible. And everybody I met, senior friends, senior pastors and preachers, they say, Brad Willey, what you are saying cannot happen. We tried it before and it didn't work. You better think twice. I mistakenly, sat on the aircraft with one man of God for 1 hour. We were flying from Makurdi to Lagos in those days. And as he saw me sitting down, he looked at me and said, are you regular? I said, yes, okay. I've been wanting to talk to you. Then he came and sat by me. And from the beginning of the flight until we landed, 1 hour, he talked. He said, I've heard about what you are doing. I've heard that you are calling program and that you are feeding people free. But I want to tell you, you are wasting your time. I want to tell you that nobody does that and succeeds. I know you are zealous, but that zeal will not carry you far, and you are growing old. For 1 hour, he was talking authoritatively. As if he had seen the end of my life from the beginning of it. He said, we tried it. When we did all of that, nothing came out. That's why we decided to be reasonable. You don't know what he said that finished what he was saying in my heart. He said, that is what we started doing, but we have left it because it does not pay. He didn't know that the Holy Spirit told me some years before that the thing I wanted you to do, I have given it to some people before, and they have abandoned it. And God mentioned their names to me, and he happened to be part of that group of people. So when he said that, I said, okay. Do you know, when he made that statement, all the things that he was trying to dismantle in me, I just saw something jump, just gather together. Now, I took a different decision. I didn't tell him to stop, but now I closed my heart complete. I closed up. As he talked, I'm just saying, So, when he dropped, I prayed a prayer. I said, Father, where okay, talagbara gun to mi ele to mi tupe. Ohun lomo lorun gun to pada wa dupe. Okay, talagbara gun to mi ele. You don't know the meaning of that song. The meaning of that song, the way it came to me, was that yes, this is the mountain that these big men climbed. And they fell by the wayside. By the grace of God, I will get to the climax of it in the name of Jesus. So as I was coming down from the airport, from the aircraft, that was what was going on. I will not fail. So that my song just came back. I put my heart in your hand, oh my God. I put my hand in your hand, oh my God. I put my hand in your hand, oh my God. I shall not fail, for Jesus never fails. You know, I used to compose songs not for people to sing, just for myself. Just to call up that resilience. Otherwise, you would not have met me. All the books that you have read that is helping your life, I would not have been able to write them. Men told me it will not work. But when God releases inside of you, and that's why I'm praying, because I see what God wants to do with your life in the coming days, and you need a resilience to enter into it. You need a resilience derived from God and by the Holy Spirit to put you at it until it becomes a visible, touchable, tangible reality. If you are not resilient, men will talk you out of your vision. If you are not resilient, the devil will corner you out and make you a casualty. If you are not resilient in your spirit, men who have failed in their pursuit, they will recruit you to join their club. That's why that song I started telling you to sing, my heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fierce dismay, though some may dwell where this abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Every man that God is cultivating for leadership must acquire from the Spirit of God a resilience commensurate with what God is calling you to do. And so we see Jesus. We see that he will not give up until he has established justice on the earth. And so the Bible said, when you go to Hebrews chapter 12, let's read that. Oh, because I want us to get to somewhere this morning before we pray. Hebrews 12. When we finish speaking about the Lord Jesus, then I will ask you to look at Paul, and we shall be ready to stop until we meet again in the evening. Hebrews 12. Are you there? Are you there? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us do what? Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience. Other version, what did they use? With perseverance. So you see, these are the words that scriptures use to represent the practical manifestation of resilience. Let us run, he said, with patience, with perseverance, the race that is set before us. Would somebody read that verse for me from another version apart from King James? Yes, sister? Yes. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Listen to me. There's a race for you. There's a race marked out for you. And once you have understood that God has put his hand on your life, the first thing to do is to lay aside every weight, every entanglement, every distraction, every habit that easily trip you, that will not let you make steady progress with your race. What do? Lay it aside. Put it aside. Tell yourself, I have a race to run. Yes. I have a battle to win. And I have a crown to wear. So let us run with perseverance, with patience, with unyielding resilience, the race that is set before you. There is no way to get to the top if you are not resilient about it. There is no way to bring unto visibility the invisible vision that God is showing you unless you bring in an unyielding resilience. So that scripture says, look, let us run with patience, with perseverance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, I want you to see how the Bible is pointing to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? Endured the cross. Despising the shame. And is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I still wish you read it for me from your NIV. Yes. On Jesus. Yes. Disregarding its shame. Some of you, one of the things that will make you to give up is shame. Shame. I cannot tell you my story because there's no time. Shame can take a man off his course. Shame can derail you and relocate you outside the purpose of God for your life. And the devil understands the power of shame. And he uses it so much. Sometimes, for the devil to make you ashamed of what God has called you to do, he might elect many, many, many high-ranking friends and brothers who will come and speak sarcastically about what you are doing. They may actually isolate you and keep you there. And you turn left, you turn right, and there is nobody to think with. But you know, God, he has helped some of our lives. Songs that bring up the reservoir of resilience in my heart, they just come. I sang a song for years.
Ni teriba moma wipe sefe tire.
You know, I swing back into Yoruba language because that is the native tongue that releases my resilience. Sometimes you don't find it in English. The English song says, that song says, and if I should find myself lonely on this track, and friends and companions have ceased to come around, Lord, even in my loneliness, teach me to say, thy will be done. I know you know this song. Eh? Say, my God and my Father, while I stray. That's the song. Sometimes I'm going on the path. Sometimes I'm trekking for hours in the pursuit of what God has called me to do. And the sense of loneliness will just settle. I say, what are you doing here? Why are you wasting your life? And in order to take up all of that, I can only go back to those songs and bring it out. You won't be a leader if you are not resilient. You won't break through if there is no persevering spirit that continues to urge you on, even when no one outside is saying, "Brother, well done." Looking unto Jesus, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? Endured the cross. He persevered with the cross, despising, disregarding the shame, because he knew where I'm going. So when they were spitting on him, when they were doing all those things, he just knew, I must go through this so that the glory God is talking about, I will enter into it. Today, his name all over the earth, from generation to generation, he is Lord, because he persevered. Would you like to follow in his footsteps? Would you like to pray and say, God, that thing that makes me give up is enough? Sometimes because of lack of resilience, you have lost many converts. God gives you souls, but because you are not resilient, when you went to see this new convert, either a young man or a young sister, I'm not ready, I'm busy. Son is saying, look at her, she's too busy. They're not serious. And then you go away. But look at Jesus. The Bible said, a smoking flax, he will not quench. He will not put the lame out of the way. He perseveres until men become something. He perseveres. You know, some of you, I can see that your fellowship is so unstable. 10 people come today. By next week, 5 of those ones have gone. Another set have come, but they are not going to stay. Where is the problem? Somebody has not caught the resilience that will not let souls go until they are stable. And a leader needs, he requires a measure of resilience for the vision to prosper in his hands. Praise the Lord. So for Jesus, he despised the shame. He didn't care what people are doing. He said, for the joy, I read it now, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also his finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. For the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So, can I ask you, how did Jesus arrive at the right hand of the throne of God? How did he arrive there? Through his own resilience. That's how even Jesus got there. I want to pray with you. My burden this morning is that God will impart and release to you an unyielding resilience that will bring all that God is saying and God wants to do with your life, will bring it to a practical, tangible, touchable, measurable reality in the name of Jesus Christ. Right. Now, let's take the last illustration. Let's look at the life of Paul. Let's just look at Paul just for a brief moment. Then we shall be praying. Is anybody carrying Living Bible in this meeting today? Living Bible. Right. Brother, stand. You will read Living Bible for us. You will read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And then another person will read 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I just want us to catch something about leadership, the resilience required in leaders that will translate visions that are invisible today onto visible, tangible, touchable, measurable reality tomorrow. Chapter 4. I'll be dictating to you as you read. But I'll read King James and then you read Living Bible. Verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do what? We faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 1 and 2, brother. Yes. We never do what? Brother, tell somebody by your side, don't give up. It is God in His mercy that brought you where you are. Don't give up. You see, when a man has a sense of divine commission, when a man understands that where I am is not by chance, it's by divine choice, there must be a resilience in his spirit that says, I will not give up. I will not give up. I will not give up. Those who have given up, they are in the waste paper basket today. Those who gave up and refused to persevere, they are casualties on the road today. Yes. But if God is preparing you to be a leader in the land, a leader in the church, a leader in the kingdom of God, a leader in the purpose of God, a resilience that will not let you give up must come on your life. So we don't give up. Read verse 2 quickly. Thank you. Thank you. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest, they know this. Praise the Lord. Can you follow me to verse 8? Verse 8. Maybe I read from verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on how many sides? On every side. Yet not what? Not yet distressed. We are perplexed, but what? Not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Now, NIV, will you read that verse 8, verse 7, 8, 9? We have this treasure in jars of clay. We are hard pressed on every side. We are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Go on reading. We are not abandoned. We are shut down. We are pushed down, but we are not destroyed. Thank you. Thank you. Where is the Living Bible? Yes.
Now shines within us.
Yes, sir.
Is had in perishable container. That is in our weak body.
Yes, sir.
Everyone can see that the glorious power within must be from God and is not our own.
Yes.
We are pressed on every side by troubles.
We are pressed on every side by troubles.
But not crushed and broken.
We are not crushed or broken.
We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do.
We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen the way they do.
But we don't give up and quit.
Aha.
We are haunted. We are haunted down.
We are haunted down.
But God never abandoned us.
Yes, sir.
We get knocked down.
We get knocked down.
But we get up again and keep going.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you understanding that now? That is the resilience I'm talking about. Those who became great leaders for God, many times they were knocked down. But they stand up and keep going. Just when Satan says, I caught him, he will just see me spring and say, I am up again. Higher ground. On every side. It is because when a man carries a treasure and the devil smells the damage you will cause to his kingdom, do you think he will fold his hand and allow you to progress like that? No. Sometimes when I found all the level of criticism that came on my life in the early days, when I discovered, oh my God, one night I cried. I wept. I said, God, what is it? Why is everybody against me like this? I'm going away. I woke my wife and I said, we are going home. My wife said, where are you going? Did they send you here? Those who did not send you here, can they send you out? I said, my wife. I thought she would say, let's go. That's why you need to marry a wife that is correct. I'm telling you. Because at certain point in your life, you are hard pressed, and your own resilience may come to the yield point. But God said, I will make a help meet for him. But if you marry a fire extinguisher for a wife, when your resilience is at the yield point and you turn to her and say, see, I've been telling you, I don't know why you are suffering us here. You are finished. Several men could not go on because when they turned to their house, they only met a discourager. This man, he said, we get knocked down, But we get up and keep going again. And Satan said, why can't this one give up? It's because there's a treasure that they know we have a responsibility to carry. Any man who is going to be a leader and he will lead men effectively into the will of God, there is a required resilience. We see it in the life of every man that God wants to use. And this morning, I will be stopping to pray with you that God, who is electing you and bringing you into opportunity for leadership, and that the training that God has us to train you for, we are training you not just for the short time you spend in campus. We are preparing you for what heaven is going to declare by your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let's conclude. I read the same passages they have been reading from the Amplified. Is there anybody with Amplified Bible there today? Stand up and read. You are now reading verse 8 and verse 9 for us.
Yes. We are hedged in, impressed on every side.
We are hedged in, pressed on every side.
Troubled and oppressed in every way.
Troubled and oppressed in every way.
But not cramped or crushed.
Not cramped. Cramped or crushed.
We suffer embarrassment.
Uh-huh.
And are perplexed.
Yes.
And unable to find a way out.
Uh-huh.
But not driven to despair.
We are not driven unto despair.
9.
Yes.
We are pursued.
Yes.
Persecuted. And hard driven. But not deserted. To stand alone.
Yes.
We are struck down.
We are
to
struck
the ground,
down to the ground.
But never struck out and destroyed.
We are never struck out. We can be struck down to the ground, but we will not be struck out. We will stand again. We will press on until we see the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. So Paul said, forgetting what lies behind and pressing for that which lies ahead of me, if I may capture the very reason why Jesus Christ captured me. I'm pressing for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you are a leader who chickens out, you can't lead men to their greatness. If you are a leader who himself is unable to rise inside and say we are going, many men will not find direction under your hand. So this afternoon or this morning, I want us to agree in prayer. I'm pressing on the upward way. That's the song of our prayer. Lord, do something in me that calls forth the grace of God. As I learn to wait on God, as I learn to draw from His inexhaustible resources, as I learn to depend on Him, Lord, I don't want to stay where doubts arise. I want to go beyond. And I'm praying that you'll be going back to your campus with a fresh vision of moving to the next level. Don't just be preoccupied with routine activities that goes nowhere. You need to be sitting down and say, during this tenure that God has brought me, what height must we carry this fellowship? What impact must our time in leadership, what must it create? Lord, I want you to take me to that. Are you one that is given to quick depression? Once anybody made a negative comment about you, you are sulky. And tomorrow when you are going to preach, you want to sort, you want to deal with that person who said that kind of thing. You are a narrow-minded man. You know what God told me? Can I tell you what God told me? He said, there is no man who is rooted for greatness that men will not speak against. It is because of where you are going that they are talking against you. If you stop going now and you settle down with them, you will become their colleagues. You will be chatting. It is of no use to abandon your journey to come and be settling quarrels with those who are going nowhere. There are people that are going nowhere, but they want to set up an endless discussion to make you forget your journey. A man that is rooted for the heights, don't sit where doubt arises, where fears dismay. Those who are going nowhere, they will always see a lion on the road. Lazy men, they see a lion on the road. You say, Yogisa, be careful. I was told that a lion is on the road. I said, have you seen it? No, do I want to see a lion before I run away? Those men can go nowhere. A leader has a resilience to step into things that look impossible. He says it remained impossible because nobody has attempted it. Lord, give me this mantle. Would you like to join me in that prayer this morning? Lord, lift me up. Let me tell you, when I'm praying that prayer, never you think I'm just doing it so as to make you pray. No, that's my own prayer. Where you have met me now is not my burial ground. I'm going higher. I'm going higher. I am measuring my time. I'm checking all the things that heaven says, which when he began to say it, there was nothing. When God began to speak to me, there was nothing. Everything was bare, empty. No sign of possibility. There is no sign that it can happen. But we have seen it. We have touched it. We have come into something which some of you have now come to touch. But there are yet other things that he is speaking that eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard it. That's where I am going. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. For though some of my friends may dwell where disturbance, my prayer, my aim is. You want to join me? You want to join me? Stand up, let's pray together. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, Lord. Higher plane, Lord. Yerimasa, Lord, plant my feet on a higher. Now, there are higher ground that God plans to carry your life. There are things that heaven wants to release. There is a place heaven wants to carry your life. Are you saying to God this morning, the capacity to press on, release it afresh to me. Release afresh to me, O God. Yerebo sandaya ba kando robo skila. Go ahead and pray your prayer. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on earth, unstable and higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my faith. Go ahead. Oh my, I want to scale the utmost height and catch the gleam of glory bright. Let's not talk robo sanda ba. Basata yada korimo sanda ba. Lita gastondo yorobo sanda ba. Kando robo shiba. Lita kusta. Lita ma. Uraba standa yaba kundo robo stondo robo shi. Zema raba standa yaba ba. Lasata yako to robo skinda yaba ba. Lasata yaka to raka baba. The resilience for height. Resilience for the glory. Resilience for the height. Listo to yorobo standa yaba ba kanda raba style. Nita sata yata gastondo robo masata yata karaba baba no sondo robo senda bakuri masaila bakando robo. Go ahead. Pray your heart out this morning. I say if you pray out your heart, say God, my heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise, where fear is dismayed. All those artificial fear, those two prophesied lions on the road, get them off the way. Something must break loose on your life. Something must break loose on you. Masata ka robo stenda mama. Misata ma robo stende yerebota. Masata na.